On Monday, we spoke with Mary Murphy and Willie O'Dea about how the country's meagre resources can best be spent on the young. Well, this year, the government will introduce legislation to establish a new Child and Family Support Agency, shaping child and family services for the next 20 years. This will be one of the biggest reforms undertaken by the current government. The new agency will put to the forefront children's rights, including a prevention and early intervention approach. Off the back of the HICWA report into foster care last month showing unacceptable failings in the system, the new agency could not have come too soon. Now, I'm joined in studio by Minister for Children and Youth Affairs, Francis Fitzgerald, by Dr. Geoffrey Shannon, a child law expert, and by Paul Gilligan, who's the chair of the Children's Rights Alliance and chief executive of St. Patrick's University Hospital. Now, this has nothing to do with the children's referendum per se, although there may be implications later on, who knows. But I want to clarify something in relation to that children's referendum. The vote took place in November, but prior to the president signing it into law, a legal challenge was lodged in the High Court to overturn the result of the referendum. So I just wanted to point out that the amendment to the Constitution cannot come into being until a determination one way or the other by the High Court. That's just by the way. But Minister, you're very welcome. We go to you first, because, it's nice family-friendly name, the Child and Family Support Agency. What'll it do?
Well, what's really important is how we approach child and family services and child protection in this country. Given that we've had this appalling legacy, 17 reports, appalling failings documented over the years, the way child and family services have been organised up to now is they've been a small part of a very big picture. So, for example, the managers who were looking after the child and family services, child protection, they were also dealing with immunisation and public health and A&E. They were within the HSE. I think it's best illustrated by saying that in the course of the board of the HSE being there, an agenda item around child and family services didn't come up for several years. So you can begin to see you didn't have the dedicated focus,
speech, that you didn't want child services to be on the corner of some executive's very cluttered desk. Paraphrasing now. In other words, that they might get around to it today or next week or the week after.
So what do we do when we really care about something? We put a dedicated focus on it. If you want to deal with road safety and you want to reduce the number of accidents, what have we done? Dedicated focus, dedicated agency. So what we're doing now is we're saying, let's separate out this incredibly important issue in relation to our children, our most important resource, and more children in Ireland than other countries, as we see from the research coming out today. So our children are the most wonderful resource that we have. Let's do the very best for them. Let's create a dedicated agency.
Agencies are wonderful
staff,
and titles are wonderful and all the rest.
It's the focus.
I want to know how it works. I mean, is it a rescue agency for children and families in trouble, or is it, on the other hand, a GP service, a resource that you can call upon, you can knock on the door, you can find an office, you can meet people, you can talk to people about your ongoing difficulties? Because that's the two different approaches.
Well,
you go to the GP when you have an ailment, you get the ambulance, and go to A&E when you are stricken.
Well, I think it's a very good analogy. And what we need to do is we need to combine both. And I'll tell you why. It's very clear that child protection and family support are two sides of the same coin. What we haven't had up to now is we haven't had integration of services. All you have to do is look at the child death report where the Geoffrey and Nora Gibbons published. And what you see is 14 workers going into one family. You see a lack of integration between the services
for
children.
Slow down. 14 different workers going in with no continuity. Is that what you're saying?
What I'm saying is that the reports that I have and the analysis that I've seen would suggest that we don't have the kind of interagency cooperation, that we have duplication, we don't have professionals working closely and carefully enough together in the interests of children.
Okay, but hang on, let's talk about this Child and Family Support Agency. Is there going to be a plate on the door in how many towns in Ireland? How many offices are? Is it going to be in the maw of the HSE, where you have to fight through a bureaucracy to find someone that's in some way involved in this agency? That's what I want to know. I mean, if it's really a separate agency, if it's really combining all these powers, the people who work for it will only be working for it and not for anybody else.
That's right. And what we will do, and we will bring together the family support resource centres around the country. There's 106 of them. We'll bring together those voluntary organisations.
Are they buildings, offices?
Yes, they're actually resource centres in towns around the country.
So will they all now have the Child and Family Support Agency plate on their door?
They are effectively the Child and Family Support Agency, yes. They are a resource centre under the Child and Family Support Agency. The education welfare officers who deal with non-school attendance, which is very often the first critical sign that you see that a child is getting into trouble. The education welfare officers have the same sign on the door now.
You've got to bring back truancy officers, people on the ground.
We effectively have education welfare officers, and I think
Are they out there? I remember years ago when they abolished truancy officers. There was a time, if you were mitching, as they used to call it, there was a likelihood, or a possibility at least, that someone out there would find you along the banks of the Royal Canal, take you by the ear and bring you back to school. That stopped. And I don't know, I never understood why it stopped.
I have to say, some of the best work I've seen in the country, I've seen in a project in Ballymun and a project in the inner city, where the school, six local schools come together, put a focus on non-school attendance and take a whole school approach to it and interrupt the non-attendance by children. Because it is the first, and I've studied this myself, it is the royal road to problems if you start missing school. And children now can miss school for up to 30, 40, 50 days. That is a real sign of that family needing support. And schools are very attentive to it. There is a greater focus. We could do with more education welfare officers.
All right. Paul, do you get a handle on... I'm trying to get a handle from the Minister as to how this thing will work.
Well, I think let's first of all take a step back. The key thing here is that this new agency needs to be grounded in children's rights. And Ireland has made a statement about that through the constitutional referendum. So it's crucial that we ground them in rights. That's going to involve a number of things. The first thing it's going to involve is that children need to be at the centre of all the programmes, all the structures and all the planning. And yes, there needs to be a balance between protection and prevention. We need to look at empowering families and children. We need to support families and children. And that's going to require real strong legislation and real strong governance. It's crucial that the agency is separate from the HSE, and it's crucial that we know exactly what it's going to look like before we start working in that
agency. Because you don't have a sense of it either, what it might look like.
No, and I think to be fair to the Minister, there's pressure to progress this fast. I think it's really important that we do progress it fast, but there is draft legislation in place, and the voluntary sector have been consulted. But I think we will need to see what the legislation actually looks like. We need to have a sense of the structure.
You talk about strong legislation. What kind of things? I mean, I'm trying to cut through generalities and get to specifics. What would you like to see in law that you think is strong enough to do the job that you see needs to be done?
The most important thing is a statement of ethos. You know, any company...
We love mum and apple pie. We cherish our children, and yet there are children starving. That's a given. We will have a mum and apple pie statement. Yeah. What specifically, what powers, not ethos, not generalities, what power do you want to see in law?
I suppose let's just take a step back away from personal obligations. The obligations of the agency. So, for example, the agency would need to be obligated to provide all supports to families that are in trouble before we move towards, say, for example, taking children into care. That's one very simple thing. Secondly, and I know this is in time, but
The Minister herself in a speech has said care should be a last resort.
Yeah, so I think the legislation that the agency needs to be grounded in that ethos. I mean, remember that's sort of there with the HSE, but we tend to go quickly to taking children into care because there's a lack of other options. Mm-hmm. Let's take mental health as another example, okay? At the moment, last year, 75 children put into adult facilities, okay? Now, I know that mental health and the CAMHS teams are probably in phase two or phase three of this agency, but nonetheless, legislation needs to be there that says we cannot put children into adult facilities. So if we can ground the agency in those types of specifics, but remembering that children's rights needs to be underpinning all of that, I think we will have a very good agency.
I've got a handle on one specific. No child should be put into an adult facility. Geoffrey, I mean, you're at the forefront of being an advocate and a defender of children's rights. What do you understand of this agency and what do you want from it?
Yeah, what I want, firstly, I think it's welcome. Welcome the Minister's initiative in bringing forward a one-stop agency. And I'll give you specifics where I think it's needed. And firstly, I share the Minister's view on the issue of early intervention. My view, in the past, family support has ranked as a poor third to child protection and alternative care in the battle for resources and professional time. Family support must be to the fore in this new agency. And coming to another specific, Paul made reference to the whole area of mental health. But I feel very strongly on this, and I think we have failed many children in this country on mental health issues. We need greater links between the child welfare and protection services and child and adolescent mental health services. My view, the system has failed many children experiencing psychological or mental health difficulties. The failure to address mental health issues at an early stage can have a profound impact on the child. And if you ask me, many of the kids that we looked at, both Nora and I, the 196 children who died in state care, a lot of them had difficulties with mental health issues. And it was the failure, in my opinion, to intervene at an earlier stage. And that is what the Minister referred to in terms of schools, in terms of the Pat, what you referred to in terms of school attendance officers attempting to reintegrate children back into the education system. I think that's going to be vital. And I welcome the fact that the National Education and Welfare Board will form part of this agency. And I'm hoping that we will also have some integration in relation to mental health services. Because what's happened in the past is there's been poor interagency communication and cooperation. And what we found is many children slipped through the cracks because of the fact there wasn't proper communication.
Now, Geoffrey, this gets us back to how the thing should work. I mean, if a child has mental health issues, you would expect a parent maybe, if they were able to identify it and try to get some help. You, therefore, if you don't get that in a home which might be dysfunctional and the mental health issue may arise from a dysfunctional home, you're depending on the school. So in this new agency's arrangement, the Child and Family Support Agency, will there be obligations on teachers, for example, to be proactive? Obligations, not wishful thinking, but obligations. Minister?
Well, I would say where the obligations in terms of child protection and child mental health will, in legislation, will be most effectively dealt with is in the Children First legislation, which I'm bringing forward as well. That's putting the obligation to report, an obligation to do interagency work, to share information. That's going to be in the Children First legislation, which will be separate to the agency. But the obligation on the agency will be, and this will be clear in the legislation, it will be about ensuring that when a family comes in that front door you're talking about, Pat, that they will be assessed properly. If it's a child protection issue, it's dealt with appropriately. But if it's family welfare and support that the family need, or mental health, that those mental health services are brought in and there's the proper focus on what the needs are.
Geoffrey, the people who interact with children, it may be the school teacher who notices they're not interacting with the kids because they're not there. It may be the Gardaí who have an interaction with the kids. It may be the courts. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering, what would you like to see in terms of the obligations, not just on parents, I don't know whether you'd extend it even to neighbours, to GPs, mm-hmm. but to all the people who interact, be it a judge in a court might have an obligation, and that could be technically, legally difficult to impose obligations under one act on a judge who's interpreting other acts. But is that where it should go?
Absolutely, and that's where we fail children. And I'm very supportive of the Minister's Children First legislation because for the first time we'll be mandating professionals to take a positive approach in relation to protecting children. I think that's where we've failed in the past. I think this new agency can't just be about changing the name on the payslip. I think there needs to be organisational change. I think the system needs to be transparent and accountable. Because part of the people I've talked to are talking about accountability. And that's why if you put positive obligations on people, and I suppose what one of the key problems in the past has been there's been a weak and passive management structure. That is changing under the new agency, and
yes,
I welcome that.
It's very clear that we needed a different focus from the management. We needed, you know, greater connection between the frontline social workers and care workers and management. And what we've done, Pat, is we've reduced that middle management down from 28 to 17. We have a quality team in place now to say, what's the quality of what we're doing? And I welcome the recent HICWA reports because we know what's going on. We are for the first time monitoring it. I brought in new standards with HICWA in relation to child protection, because what we didn't know before, except when we got the reports like the Magdalen report years later, now we know precisely what's going on. We must fix it.
Okay, but those obligations, I mentioned a whole pile of professionals, yes, and lay people who might have an obligation. Will you put that into law?
Well, how do you put that into law? The way you put it into law is the way I'm suggesting. You put an obligation on mandated professionals who have a particular responsibility to share information, to take action, not just to stay behind the professional persona. There's too much of that in Ireland
still. No, but for example, would you put an obligation on a judge? A child protection and support obligation on a judge?
Yeah, can I answer that question? Because there is, at the moment, it's already there. And this is something where I think we have failed children. Because under the existing legislation, under the Child Care Act, there is a positive mandatory duty on the state to protect children. In my opinion, all of the international instruments we've signed up to, and we're great at signing international instruments, the follow-through has not been as good. And my view is the international instruments and the legislation sets out duties on the state to protect children in strong, unequivocal terms. So it couldn't be clearer.
But I'm just wondering, Jeffrey, we have the famous separation of powers between the legislature and the judiciary. Can you impose on a judge a child protection role?
Well, every day in
I know court, they do it, and they do it well.
Well, I can tell you how
you can
do it.
Well, if they don't do it well, what then?
Yeah.
If a child falls through the cracks because of a decision by a judge in the children's court, what then?
Well, I think one of the
everyone
ways
else has to,
I'll tell you one of the ways we begin to deal with that, Pat, is, and I'll say my focus in the first year was child protection and the children's referendum. The focus, I think, increasingly now has delivering the services effectively, which is what establishing this new agency about. But I think a real important focus in Ireland, the next step, in my view, has to be reform of the legal system and the way it deals with children. It is too adversarial, and as you say, children, you know, they fall between the cracks. It needs to work better, and that's what we're doing in
Jeffrey,
the autumn with the new family courts.
Yes,
yeah, my view is that there's a need for judicial training, and judicial training in the context of the Child Care Court. Our most important court is actually the lowest court, which is the district court. And the real problem is uniformity in terms of the decision making, and there has been some progress. The president of the district court has introduced a practice direction which will ensure that if you're heard in one court, the outcome is going to be the same as in the next court. The real problem for kids is that the outcome is going to be different where the case is heard, and that isn't good enough as far as I'm concerned.
But this area has been bedeviled, and I can say when I came into office I couldn't believe the lack of consistency in terms even of the information available, the national statistics in relation to fostering. I wanted to find out how many children in foster care do their leaving cert and continue to live with their foster parents. We didn't have the statistics, can you believe it? So this agency is going to take a national approach to these issues.
The biggest single problem at the moment when it comes to children is that the systems that they interact with are in silos. Now, I think this agency has to deal with that. And the big challenge is you can only
The minister's used that very term in one of her speeches.
Yes, absolutely.
Knocking down the walls of these silos.
And it's a flick of a coin where a child ends up. So a child could end up in the criminal justice system, in the mental health system or the child protection system, depending on who's the first person to interact with them. And that has to change. Now, this agency's challenge is it can only gradually take stuff into the agency. But at the other side, I think it's really important that we have an integrated approach. Children themselves need to be empowered to be part of that and be consulted and participate.
The views of the child,
but if you take mental health as a good example again, mental health is, you know, you can't separate child protection from mental health, and very often children with mental health issues engage in antisocial behaviour, and if they're unlucky they end up in the criminal justice system. So it's about integration, and that's a real challenge.
It's probably important as well though to point out that of the 6,000 children that we have in care in this country, we're very lucky compared to other countries that the vast majority are in quality foster care. They're not in residential settings, for example. So we are doing much better by the children who are in need. But there are challenges in terms of, you know, particular, the more vulnerable children, whether it's addiction and drug addiction and alcohol addiction in the family. They are the children, and you'll see it again from the child death report, where there are very serious family problems. The resources to those particular families, because they're the children with the poorest outcomes.
I think it was Paul who said it should be not part of the HSE. Will it be?
No, it's not part of the HSE.
Separate entirely, not under its governance or anything like that.
And what we've been doing in the last year is separating out, very importantly, the budget, the people. 4,000 people have got their letters saying you are now in the new agency.
And we need to focus on cultural change.
The second thing I was going to ask you about is money, because you're offering better quality. This is what it says on the tin. You know, you're stretched at the moment doing what you can with what you have. Yes. How can you offer more with less?
I really believe we can do it, in the sense of it is not just about more money. We've maintained the resources. We've hired 259 extra social workers. That has to mean something in the system. But it is, as I've said very clearly, It is about agencies working together. It is about reform as well. It's about a different approach, more careful assessment when the family come in the door for the first time, and using those organisations who are being funded by the state, the non-governmental organisations. There's more integration needed between the statutory and the voluntary.
Okay, but you're talking about agencies working together.
Yes.
I was under the impression from the very beginning that a lot of the state agencies would all be amalgamated under this. Who's going to be left standing outside that is not part of this family, child and family support agency that will be interacting with it?
Yes, well, what we have at present is we can't do it all at the same time because it's too big a transition. So what we've done at the beginning is we have the family support services, the education welfare officers, we've adoption and fostering, we've child protection services, all coming together in the first phase. The community psychologists, government have decided they should be part of it, and the services for domestic violence. What the task force, which I set up, recommended as a vision for the agency is that we should also have public health nurses interacting, because we just have in the State of the Nation's Children Report, we have 83.5% of our children who are born being seen within 2 weeks by a public health nurse, a fantastic resource, and women that and men that we should be working with more effectively, and the mental health services. In the meantime, we need to establish more effective links before they come
outside
into the agencies.
Who'll be left outside?
Well, obviously, you will still have the mainstream education and health services.
And the guards and so on.
Of course.
All right, Geoffrey.
Yeah, I think it's not just about resources. I do share the Minister's view on that, because if we look at all of the reports, and certainly the child death report, it was about poor record keeping, poor interagency cooperation, weak and passive management. I think those are key issues. And placing children in placements that meet their needs, because I think what has happened in the past, it's been crisis driven. Every child in care should have a care plan. That's hugely important. It's a roadmap as to what's happening to the child within the care system. So there have been problems with appropriate placements and the availability of placements, and I think that will need to be addressed. And I think it's a once in a lifetime opportunity. I think the Minister deserves particular credit for bringing it forward.
Okay, but one of the things you talked about in your report, you know, a child seen by 14 different social workers. I mean, how can you guarantee
professionals, not just social workers,
professionals,
different professional groups.
Yeah, but clearly changes of personnel. Now, it happens in the best ordered, say in a school, a teacher will get pregnant or something, go missing or get sick or whatever. So it does happen that professionals do change.
But why did that happen, Pat?
14 people.
Yeah. Why did that happen? It's because it was poor care planning. Because if you have a clear care plan as to what's happening to the child within the care system and there are regular reviews, that shouldn't happen. And I'm hoping under the new agency it won't happen.
Paul?
Yeah, the Ryan report recommended an audit. We need to see the audit. We need to know what resources we have in the state sector. We need to know what we need. And the voluntary sector and independent sector, of course, have a role to play. Mm-hmm. But at the moment, they're not utilised. For example, if you again come back to mental health, you have 75 children put in adult units, but there are places available in the independent sector in proper adolescent units. So I think if we see this as a proactive opportunity to engage with the voluntary, the independent sector and the statutory sector, and look at how we could deliver a world-class service.
And in fairness, there is a very positive attitude towards the new agency from the voluntary sector and from the professionals.
And what we were trying to do this morning is explain to people and get a handle on how it's all going to work. So let's take a practical example. You've got a family where you've three children, where resources are meagre. Maybe it's a social welfare family. Maybe it's a low-paid job family. And you've one troubled child. Those parents, or maybe it's a single parent family, whatever, what do they do? I mean, what practically do they do? Do they pick up the phone? Do they go down to an office? Who do they see? Like, you might get a teacher intervening, you might get a social worker intervening, but if a family themselves decide that they are in need of child and family support, what do they do?
Well, you know, you're really asking what's the first point of contact. And of course, that varies. Some families may choose to go to the school.
A family say, we are in trouble. I've seen Francis Fitzgerald's new agency, the Child and Family Support Agency. That's the one for us. What do they do?
They contact their local social work team in their local office, their child and family support team. At present, it's under the HSE. It will transition out from the HSE towards the end of this year, and the services will be under a child and family support agency. That child and family support agency is available to that family.
Paul?
I think it's very difficult for a family to go to a social worker. There's a huge stigma around that. I think every community has to have a family resource centre. And we already have a network of those. They are accessible to communities. That's where families will start off with. That's where they'll go. The children will go to the breakfast
club. Yes, many families will go to the family resource centre. You're asking specifically about social work.
I think that this new agency has to require and empower the state to intervene at an earlier stage before the problems become serious and intractable. Because when a child's taken into care, it's too late. So I think we need to, that's investing in family support. And as Paul was saying, investing in actually family resource centres, I think will generate huge amount of returns in the long run. I think that's where the focus should be. So rather than on crisis intervention, because when we talk about crisis intervention, I think we sometimes miss the bigger picture, because early intervention isn't crisis intervention. Yeah. Early intervention is in supporting families. And I
it's
think that's
what's really...
Yeah, and I was speaking about this in the Senate yesterday. I mean, the international evidence and increasingly the Irish evidence, the Irish research evidence we have now are actually about the savings of early investment, because, and it's clear from around the world, you stop children becoming addicted. Yeah.
By the way, they stay on in school. You need addiction therapists in the new agency. That's from Anya.
Well, sir, obviously the interaction with those who are providing the services for alcohol and drug addiction, I think it's 6% of all children coming into, or actually 14% of all children coming into care, families have addiction issues.
I think if the gateway is viewed as a family community, family support centre, you should have mental health, addiction services, education support services, all centred there, and then the specialised services network out of those.
Yeah, I agree with that, caller. I think risk indicators in the past have not been picked up. One of the key risk indicators is alcohol abuse. It was one of the most shocking findings of our report. And that's why I feel when we talk about early intervention, it's actually picking up those risks at an earlier stage and intervening to ensure that children have better outcomes.
Okay, well, an early comment. One man's agency is another man's quango, from Jim. To cut through the minister's overly complex explanation, child support systems in Ireland are dysfunctional. A new name on a plate is not the answer, John in Limerick. But as our discussion evolved, an excellent discussion. If only we had more Francis Fitzgeralds in government, from M in Mayo, and then that one about addiction therapists. Look, it's a long way to go. When do you think, very briefly, just last words, Minister, when will it be in place?
Well, I hope to introduce the legislation in the next couple of weeks. It's very complex. I want to get it right rather than rush it.
Yeah.
We've seen the HSE being rushed before. I hope to see a transfer of powers from the HSE to the new agency in the course of this year.
In the course of this year.
Yes.
All right. We leave it there. Paul and Geoffrey and Minister, thank you very much.
Thank you.